Lionel, time. We talked a little bit about that just a few moments ago. You've been working on time. How?
Well, the idea of time has always intrigued me. You know, the great J.B. Priestley did a wonderful book on time, and I always loved the plays on time that he did, called one of them was A Dangerous Corner, and another one was Time and the Conways, and that marvelous, fertile mind of Priestley's was a... Hey, that you just have to hear in the background.
What is that?
The interruption.
What is that?
I'll bring him nearer the fold. He's a good boy. I'll show you.
It's a monster.
He's American. We have an unofficial adopted son in New York called Rick, who's a great guy. And one of our family jokes is that my nickname is the Bullfrog. And Rick sent that to me as a present, and it's an all-American bullfrog, guard frog, and if anything switches on a light or passes in front of him, he makes that wonderful ribbiting noise.
Oh, okay.
So he's all the way from the States to the UK, and he wanted to say hello to the big bullfrogs back in the States.
I love it.
So... sorry, you'll have to hit me with the question again.
Okay, so we're talking about time and how it flows past. Yeah. You know, sometimes it goes by so fast, other times it's so slow. These programs seem to be going faster and faster.
Yeah, I do sympathize with that point of view. Now, the thing that's intrigued us so much about time, as I said, I began by reading the Priestley books on it and watching some of his plays, and he just raises the question of, hey guys, what is time? And so what we're doing in the book is to look at the theories that the great physicists like Einstein and Steve Hawking have put forward about the actual nature of time and how it fits into the fourth dimensional or the space-time continuum, where we have three spatial dimensions, if you're measuring a cube, we need to take three measurements, or if we're measuring a cuboid. But there is a fourth dimension, because as H.G. Wells says in his Time Machine stories, written back in the 1890s, that there is no such thing as an instantaneous cube. If the thing is instantaneous, it doesn't exist. So it has to have a time dimension, as well as its three physical dimensions. And my own view of time is that it's something that we ought to examine. I wouldn't begin to pretend to say that I knew what it was. I've got lots of theories about it. And the first thing, the key word that you mentioned, is the idea of flow. And if we could imagine a universe in which the only objects are two perfectly spherical, identical spaceships, and there's nothing else, there's no fixed point from which we can take a reading. So you're in one, I'm in the other, and we pass each other in this otherwise enormous void. Now, we think that we're traveling in opposite directions, just like two vehicles on a freeway.
Sure.
But it is also possible, excuse me a minute, I have that frog in my throat, I'll be 30 seconds. Sorry about that, guys.
This is
that frog. This program is going to be dogged by frogs.
This is a night of frogs, that's right.
Yeah. So, the other thing that could be happening, if we have no external landmarks, is that you could be overtaking me, or I could be overtaking you, or we could both be traveling, as it were, in the same direction, but at slightly different speeds, and each of which would give us the same relative readout of the two ships that are coming closer to each other and then moving away again.
What happens, though, as this occurs, is there a possibility that one of us could slip through time, end up in another spot, another location? We opened up the phone lines in our last hour, our third hour together.
Oh,
and,
yes.
And you may get some strange phone calls. People have talked about, for example, his father was in a plane and he saw World War II fighter jets come out of it. And this wasn't too long ago. And it was just weird. It was like it came out of a black cloud. Is it possible to slip through into another dimension or into another time period?
I certainly think it is. One of the most amazing stories that was ever brought to me came from Norwich, the city in East Anglia where we lived for many years, and it concerned a pensioner couple who had parked in an area of Norwich near the cathedral, which was known as Tombland, and there was a very small car park where you could go into a parking bay and stay for a few minutes, and there was also a gentleman's restroom there. There wasn't anything for the ladies, but there was a very old-fashioned Victorian gentleman's public convenience, as we call them here, and you had to go down the steps to get to it. There was only one set of steps going down or out of this very old, 100 and more years old. And they'd been shopping, and the old gentleman says to his lady, I must just use the restroom before we drive home. So he parked on one of the bays beside it. He goes down to use the restroom, and time passes and passes, and she is becoming more and more anxious. Has he been mugged? Was somebody down there attacked him and robbed him? Has he had a heart attack and collapsed and is in desperate need of medical help? And, of course, being a lady, she couldn't go into the gentleman's restroom. Along came a parking warden, traffic warden, as we have here in the UK, and she said, oh, please, could you help me? Explained the problem, and he said, certainly, madam, I'll go down and see if your husband's okay. He went down, searched it thoroughly. All the cubicles were empty. There was no sign of anyone. And he came back and said, well, he hasn't been injured or been taken ill. He's just not there.
He's gone.
He's gone. And she said, well, that's impossible because I've been sitting here in the car looking at the top of the steps waiting for him to come up. And they just said, he said, well, I'm sorry, ma'am. I just can't find him. He's not there. And she said, what on earth am I going to do? And then about another 5 minutes passed, and he came up the steps from the supposedly empty restrooms. And he got into the car and said, breathlessly, I'll tell you in a minute, love, I've just got to get myself together.
Oh my.
And then he said, I went down to the restroom and used it, came up, and you were not here. The car was not here.
Oh my God.
But, he said, on the road over there, other cars of a kind I've never seen were moving in almost total silence. And he said, I just didn't know what to do. I thought, I'm going to go back, and I'm going to sit myself down in one of the cubicles and just give it 5 minutes and then see what happens. And he said, I've come up the second time, and thank God you're here and everything's back to normal.
He did. He slipped into another time warp.
It seems to have been that he'd gone forward a time warp, a time twist, something like an earthquake, what we might call a time quake, for want of a better word.